Some of the seed that he sowed went to waste, feeding birds and choked up by weeds. And today is a different story. A story that I pray will address some of the questions that you may have as you face your challenges in your life. We, as a nation, just 11 days ago, joined with those who grieved over the time when there were, we call them terrorists, but these were real human beings who thought it was a great idea to fly a plane filled with passengers, civilians, men and women, into the Twin Towers in New York City or into the Pentagon. And as we grieve that, I'm sure the questions occur to you as it did to me. How could somebody do that? Why would they do that? How could they bring themselves to think that was a good idea? And what do I do about that? These are the challenges of our time, and challenges that Jesus addresses in his story. So let me invite you to open your Bibles to where we find that story that Jesus tells, the Gospel of Matthew. I'm going to be reading from the 13th chapter, beginning with the 24th verse. Listen to the Word of God. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' And he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, and gather the wheat into my barns.'" Amen. These are called parables. That is, the Bible calls them parables. A parable comes from the Greek word meaning simile. It has illustrations in every story. And some of these parables, these stories that Jesus told, Jesus interprets for us so that we don't get confused by what does he mean. And this is one of those stories that Jesus interprets for us later on in this same gospel. Jesus says that this story has this landowner, the master, and the master is God. And this master has field hands. And the field hands who work in the field are those who love the master. And they are going into the field sowing wheat. Now, the wheat has two images to it. One is that it is the gospel, the good news, God's righteousness, and also that it is righteous people. And the weeds is evil. And it can also be evil people. And finally, The evil one is the one that is opposed to God's love, opposed to God's presence in this world. That's the parable, that's the story that Jesus tells. This parable has three surprises to it. I'd like to lift up each of these surprises. Because as Jesus told him, I'm sure those that listened to him initially were also surprised when they heard this story, as you may have been also this morning. Because the first surprise is that there are weeds in the field. As the workers for the master came to the master and said, "Master, didn't you just plant good seed?" And I said, yeah, that's all I got is just good seed. "Well, did you know that there are weeds out there?" Now, the master, according to Jesus' story, doesn't say, "Yeah, I know." I know. But the shock of the workers, not of the master, the shock of the workers is there are weeds in the field. And they might have said, you know, well, they did. You only plant good seed. The people who are surprised are the people who know the master. You may be surprised, the evil in this world, because you know a loving God. And you know the Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. And everything that he created, he called very good. And we can say, well, so what went wrong? I mean, if it's supposed to be very good, if God created the earth and God is almighty, then how come there's evil here? How come there are weeds in this garden? How did that? We're surprised. And I pray to God that you never stop being surprised by the presence of evil. I pray that there never comes down, you just get used to it. Oh, yeah, that's just a bad person again. I hope that you're always shocked, because that's not the way God made the world. That's not the seed he sowed. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Oh, yeah, that's those politicians. They're at it again. No. Be shocked. Be surprised. The workers in this field are shocked. In fact, there is no place in this garden we live in that doesn't have weeds. Even as we worship here this morning, we know that today there is in the Gold Coast children who are being sold into slavery. We know that. We know that today in Indonesia, in Afghanistan, there are Christians who are being persecuted for their faith. We know that. We know that in the Middle East, Israel continues to persecute those who the Palestinians. Netanyahu has just said he plans to annex the West Bank. We know that. We know there's a war going on right now in Yemen, which is causing the starvation of literally millions of people. And that war is simply over greed. There's no reason for it outside of greed. Or, as you may have heard last week, Iran thought it was a brilliant idea to drop bombs on the Saudi Arabian oil refineries. Brilliant! Now, it's not hard for us to tell the difference between weeds and wheat when they're that blatant. But the reality is, that may be too far away for us to really appreciate. Yeah, there's weeds in the United States of America, too. I mean, there has been a doubling of the number of politicians who have gone to jail or been arrested or been accused of crimes in the last 2 years. Where did that come from? Or we know there are little children being incarcerated at the borders of the United States with Mexico. We know that. We know that there have been people who have gone to grammar schools with AK-47s and shot to death little children. We know that. We know that there are pharmaceutical companies, some of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the country, who have been selling opioids like candy, addicting men, women, and children to these opioids. Some who have gone on to die from that. Weeds. But that may be too far away as well. We need to recognize that there are weeds maybe even in ourselves or among ourselves. When we bring home our frustrations and anxieties from work to our homes and splatter all over our loved ones, we recognize that, yeah, there's weeds in my home. When we recognize in ourselves that we are tolerating, maybe even encouraging, certain habits which are less than healthy and maybe even damaging to ourselves as well as others, when we tolerate that, we recognize, why do we do that? That's a weed in my life. And the followers of Jesus, those who worked in the field, come to the master and they say, "Master, master, did you know there are weeds in the field?" And the master says, "I know." And he says, "Okay, what do you want us to do? Why are those weeds there? Did you plant them there?" The master says, "No, I didn't do that." "Oh, how did those weeds get there?" And listen to what Jesus says. He says, "The evil one put them there." God didn't put them there. Weeds don't just happen. No, the evil one did that. There is not only evil in the world, but there is a power that creates, that moves, that motivates that evil in the world. You know, weeds are always mixed with the divine seed. It's a reality and not something that we wish for or that even God created, but it is a reality. Weeds are always mixed together so that even what we say when we want to believe the truth of Jesus Christ, somehow it gets mixed up. And somehow we begin to kind of motivate ourselves to love Jesus because we're going to get something out of it rather than because Jesus loves me. Oh, man. How often do we take that which is good and kind of taint it? So that grace becomes kind of another word for indifference. And Christian becomes a word for those who are nice people. And being a part of the family of Christians is a good business proposition. That's just, we taint it. The weeds show up in the field. And no matter how hard we work at getting the weeds out, it just stays put. The purpose of the gospel is not to make people nice or good. The purpose of the gospel is to save us from our own sin, from a world that is filled with sin. When you look at the people of God, you realize that it's a real mixed bag. Even look at our family here at First Presbyterian Church. We are definitely a mixed bag. I mean, some of us are old, some of us are young, some of us are women and men, some of us are comfortable, and some of us are very uncomfortable. Some of us are a real mixed bag. And the reality is that the world God created is a mixed bag. So the first surprise is, there are weeds in the field. I pray that'll always be a surprise. But then what should be done? So what are we supposed to do about that? And these servants come to the master and say, "Master, you want us to go out there and pull out all those weeds?" And here's the second surprise. He says, "No. You leave those weeds alone. You let those weeds grow." What? You like weeds? What's this about? No. And then he explains to us why we're to leave the weeds alone. He says, don't pull those weeds out. First of all, because you're not capable of it. You don't have that ability. Oh, those weeds' roots really sink down deep into the soil. And you're not going to be able to rip those out. You're just not capable of that. You're not capable of that because you got weeds in you. You know, one of the things that constantly amazes me are those who are so judgmental of the world. And some of them are the best intended people of all. But what I'm amazed about is that they don't understand and they don't see their own hypocrisy, the fact that they are, I mean, they got weeds in their garden. Jesus said something about, you know, don't take the speck out of your brother's eye before you take the log out of your own. It's kind of like, wait a minute. Yeah, we were so anxious to kind of take care of everybody else that we forget that we need to take care of ourselves. We're going to take care of gambling and smoking and pollution and corruption and terror and all the rest of that. But forget about the lustful lots in my heart or the abuse I have on my brother or my sister. Jesus tried to help us see. Do you understand that that your lust is as much a weed as adultery is? Do you notice that your anger against your brother is just as much a weed as murdering your brother? Do you get it? That those weeds are growing in your garden? And we go, oh, it's not that big a weed. Oh, it is. It is, says Jesus. That is one of the reasons you can't pull these weeds out. You can't even change yourself. Nevertheless, someone else. Why? Because there's weeds in my garden. You know, it's as if Jesus were saying, if you could pull those weeds out, if you could eliminate evil from this world, you wouldn't need me. You wouldn't need a Savior. You wouldn't need me to die on a cross. You wouldn't need that. Who needs a Savior if you can save yourself? And Jesus says, and that's the point, you can't save yourself. You see, a person to be wheat needs a Savior. None of us are pure wheat, or for that matter, pure weed. Do you ever know somebody who was totally evil? No good in that person at all. Or do you ever know somebody who was pure good? No bad in that person. So Jesus says, first of all, don't pull them out because you can't do it. But second of all, don't pull them out because you might, in fact, as you probably will, mistake a weed for a wheat and end up pulling wheat stalks out, pulling the good crop up. That wouldn't be a good idea. No, leave it there. Because while flying a plane into the Twin Towers is obviously evil, a lot of the weeds in our life don't look that much different from the wheat, the good things in our lives, or even the lives of others. We have so much of the evil in our world kind of comes traipsing in, dressed up, looking good, like a wheat. I mean, the whole myth now about vaping. Oh, yeah, it's all natural. Don't worry about it. It's good for you, actually. Where, you know, make it taste like bubblegum now. We end up killing our children or damaging their lungs for life. Why are we doing that? Well, you see, it's a good profit. That's a weed. There's weeds. But there isn't anybody that is totally evil. And our challenge is, can you tell the difference between a weed and a wheat? I mean, imagine if you had that power. If God said, okay, you get to choose. You will choose who is a wheat and who is a weed. You'll get to choose. You got you're a wheat. Okay, no, you can stay. You're a weed. You got to leave. I'm sorry, you're out. Think of all St. Paul, weed or wheat? Well, I think most of us would say, this guy is persecuting Christians. That guy is a wheat. Pull him out. Or St. Augustine, he told us he was a wheat. He was a weed. We know him being one of the great saints of the church. C.S. Lewis, he tells us he had a rough childhood. Or Billy Graham, would you have ripped that weed out? Just think of the Christian leaders we would never have had if we were the deciders of what is a wheat and what is a weed. No, that is not an easy call. I had a wonderful grandmother. She was a farmer's wife down south of Merced. They grew all kinds of things. They grew cotton and tomatoes, and now they're growing mostly almond trees. But she had a marvelous iris garden, 2 acres of iris from all around the world. And they were gorgeous, just gorgeous. And, of course, then most of the time, they were no flowers on them, but, you know, they were just iris. So one day when flowers were gone, she gave me a trowel and she said, Donald, I want you to go out and would you just kind of weed this section of my irises here. Well, I'd do anything for Grandma. So I said, sure. And that was a really hot day. So I went out there and I labored my heart. She would say, now you put the weeds over here and when you're finished, come in and tell me. So I worked all day long and I got this big pile of weeds all stacked up and I was so proud of myself. And I went and said, Grandma, you got to come out. It is so spick and span. There's not one single weed left out there in that section. And she came out and she almost fainted. I had pulled every one of her iris bulbs up. Looked like weeds to me. And the weeds were doing just fine, thank you very much. Can't tell the difference. So, says the landlord, says the master, you leave them alone. You're just as likely to pull up the wrong ones. That's the second surprise. The second surprise is you're going to have to learn to live, to grow, even to thrive among weeds. Christianity is a reality religion. It's not a myth. It's not a pretend. We don't go around saying, well, you know what? Evil is just a figment of your imagination, and what you need to do is get over it. Life is good. Christianity doesn't say it. Christianity says, no, the world is real. And God came into this real world that includes weeds and to be its savior, to redeem it. That gets us to enter the third surprise. God has a plan for salvation that we are a part of through Jesus Christ. Just as we do not know, or at least I don't, anybody who is all weed, in the same kind, none of us are all wheat, except through Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ who makes us all wheat. Pure, unadulterated wheat. That is the promise of Scripture. That is the promise of God. And it's not, oh, you've got to try a little bit harder. No, it's that I have done all that's necessary that you may be productive, that you may be a blessing to the world. That is the promise. We are wheat in the name of Jesus. That's the third surprise. Because God's plan of leaving the wheat and the weeds to grow together. And we can say, but Lord, isn't there a way we can get rid of those weeds? I mean, what parent would not like to have their children grow up in a weed-free environment? Wouldn't that be great? No weeds in this family, no weeds in this community, no weeds in this world. But you know that's not going to happen, and that isn't true. So what do? You train your children to live in a world with weeds. As the story that Jesus told invites us to do. Now, the surprise, God has a plan. And his plan includes weeding the garden. But he will weed it. When it's obvious what are the weeds in the wheat, it will be weeded. That day will come. When all the weeds are pulled up and they're piled in a great pile and they're burned. And the day will come when all the wheat will produce bountifully and taken into the barns of the master. As Jesus says, and then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So we may well ask, so if there really is a loving God, why is there so much evil in the world? Because there's a loving God. We are not victims of the weeds. He will take care of the garden through Jesus Christ. three surprises in Jesus' story. First, that there are weeds, and yes, there are. Second, that we're to let the weeds grow with the wheat. And third, God has a plan. And that plan includes weeding the garden and then storing the grain in his barn. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, if we were telling this story, we confess we would probably tell it different. Thank you, O Lord, for giving this story from the lips of Jesus, that we can get it right, that we can begin to understand not only the world we live in, the real world, but also how we can live in it. Thank you for this story. And let us, O Lord, as we enter into this new week that comes, filled with its own share of weeds, know how to more effectively live within it, even thrive within it, through Jesus Christ. Amen.